Welcome to the podcast for the sisters and bros. It will make you laugh from your head to your toes. Talking about their lives, from the highs to the lows. And the name of the title goes, The Sloppy Joes.
Welcome everyone to the Sloppy Joes podcast. It is me, Joe McGrath, and a very humble, very, I want to say poorly still. Are you out of 10?
I'm not poorly still, but I'm still, I've not quite got my sea legs back yet. Do you know when you're ill and it takes you like a couple of weeks afterwards to really feel yourself?
A couple of weeks?
Sometimes for me it does, yeah.
Obviously it's Joe Smith.
I do.
Absent from last week because there's a weird rumour going around you had trench foot.
You started that rumour?
I didn't. Ethan James started that rumour.
Why?
Ethan, why did you start the rumour?
Hello, I actually believed you were trying to say that Joe had trench foot and actually believed it. And then I realised, why would I believe Joe McGrath?
Yeah, and also, why would I have trench foot, more importantly?
What did you have?
I think it was salmonella poisoning.
Oh, I love a good salmonella poisoning. Mm. Where from? What dish?
Great question. Now, it is actually a stunning story, this.
Yeah, well, stop myself.
You're going to love this. Yeah, I forgot about this.
I love this.
Right? And I've got pictorial evidence to back this up, so this isn't like a bullshit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See you in court.
See you in court. Last Monday, right, Ethan came in with his lunch. He got some Fridge Raiders. And what did you get with the Fridge Raiders, Ethan? What was the rest of the lunch?
Oh, I got a halloumi Mediterranean vegetable sandwich. Oof. And I think it was like one of those tropical orange juice Tropicana things.
Oof, delicious.
Oh,
a bizarre meal deal, first of all.
Yeah.
But a meal deal nonetheless. Crazy. So we're just chatting and all of a sudden Ethan pulls one of these refrigerators out and goes, I'm not eating that. That's fucking disgusting. And it had like snapped in half. And I thought, well, it's just been banged or like stood on or in a bag or whatever. Like, let's not worry about it. I was like, what do you mean just eat? It's just ripped in half. Just eat it. I was like, oh no, it doesn't look right, Joe. And I was like, right, give it here, I'll eat it. Being all like, you know, a bit of a knob, really. But I just thought, it's just him being picky. So I grab it, chuck it in my mouth. Start chewing it.
Oh,
chewing it, thinking, and I think
this is awful.
It's three things that chicken should never be. It's wet, it's mushy, and it's sour. It actually tasted like tangy, sour, bad. I was like, I'm not swallowing this because something's not right here. I went, where's the packet? And he gave me the packet, and I looked on the back of the packet. Bearing in mind, it had been bought from Morrison's that day.
Yeah.
I put this in my mouth on the 2nd of October. Right?
Yeah.
What do you think the use-by date on the back of these refrigerators was? Now, I'll show you the picture because I promise you I'm not lying.
I'll let you into a trade secret here.
Yeah.
Ethan has told me this story already.
Okay.
And I didn't put two and two together.
Right.
That this thing that you ate caused you the illness.
So the date on the back, which you obviously know, but people at home don't know.
It was about 3 months ago.
It was July the 3rd, the use-by date.
July the 3rd.
Literally 3 months fully out of date. So if you think this sealed bag, obviously that'll keep it fresher a bit longer. Yeah. But then eventually it's becoming essentially a bomb of bacteria. Oh, if you think how much bacteria and the different types of bacteria that would have been in that bag with chicken that is 3 months out of date.
Oh.
And I spat it out and I gargled with a bit of water. But if you just think the amount of bacteria that would have coated my mouth would easily be enough to get the shits. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't vomiting all the time. I just was a bit poorly for a couple of days.
Poorly?
And just, I haven't done a fully solid poo since.
Really?
It's nearly a week. It's a week.
Like a trickle.
Yeah, it's a bit more solid. Awful, more shape to them, but they're still not quite right.
Ethan, did you put two and two together with the refrigerators and Joe?
Well, no, not at the start. Because when Drew was off ill, I was like, I wasn't too sure what was wrong with him. I was wondering if he was just skiving. Because he had some work going on at home, so I was thinking, Drew's just
putting the kitchen up.
Yeah. So I just thought, Drew's just, he's just taking some time off to sort that, and okay, Drew's ill.
Ethan, you thought he was skiving, did you?
Well, yeah, and then when he came back in the other day, he was telling me how poorly he was, and I was actually feeling quite sorry for Drew, and I realised, he's proper poorly. And he was going, he's quite scared. He can't quite pinpoint what it was. And he was going, We had a KFC with Jay the other day. They were sharing a bargain bucket together.
Nice. How many pieces?
10.
You and Jay shared a 10-piece bucket?
Yeah.
It's 5 pieces each. Yeah. So much chicken.
It could have been that.
It's so much chicken.
Yeah, a lot.
Fucking hell. I ever get invited onto one of these 10-piece bucket things?
Yeah. Well, it'd only be 3.3 each then. And nah,
we'd get 15.
We'd get a 15 bucket.
This is 16. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
But then I realised, I said, could it have been that true? The refrigerators, which obviously you didn't actually swallow one. And then he went, bloody hell, it could well be. And then I would say, Drew, a lot of anxiety went away from you there because you could start trusting food again, it felt.
Nice. Yeah, because if real food is real food. I do think, obviously, I didn't swallow it, but the symptoms, I wasn't terribly ill. I just... Yeah. Didn't eat for a day, shit myself.
No, we can't blame fridge raiders. We have to blame Morrison's, can't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Morrison should have got rid of that completely.
Yeah, it's terrible, that.
It's bad.
Not rotate. You've got to rotate.
You start one pack you were missing. When was there a moment you knew you had a problem? Was there a fart that went wrong?
Mm.
Was there an accident that just, you know, you realised, I'm not well.
Are you worried about losing your hair? You won't be surprised to find out that 1 in 5 men start losing their hair in their 20s. That is where Sons comes in. Sons are a men's healthcare brand that offer clinically proven, licensed hair loss treatments for less than a cup of coffee per day. They've treated over 50,000 customers and their treatments deliver results in 9 out of 10 men.
I've signed up for a 12-week program and I can tell you, it's very easy. Mm. All you got to do is take their 1-minute online consultation and Sons will tailor a subscription treatment plan specifically for your needs. Although, maybe not for your needs.
Well, this is very exciting because I'm looking out for you. And you need this treatment. So go to suns.co.uk and use the code JOE40 to get 40% off your treatment. That is mad, isn't it?
That is a 40%. Lot.
40%. And that adds up to £80 off a 6-month treatment. It's a lot of money.
I'm going to give it a go and you'll hopefully see some progression here in my head. There are no contracts or hidden charges and it all can be delivered straight to your door as easy as that. I could be looking like Joe Smith in 12 weeks' time.
And so could you. Go to suns.co.uk and use the code JOE40. The link is in the description. Thursday, so it was the next day, Tuesday, at about 1 a.m. All hell broke loose. Just up to the toilet, back and forth, non-stop. Just didn't sleep. Just water, finding liquid where there could be no liquid. Just constant, the gushing. It was just like, where's that come from? Looking in the bowl and the stuff that I hadn't eaten for years in there. Like, how is the, you know, bechamel sauce?
Oh, God.
I've not had a lasagna in months.
Really?
So, like, stuff that was just coming out. Of, like, one was a toy from McDonald's Kids' Meal. Not had one of them in 10 years. It was like a little, they're the aliens from Toy Story. Yeah. One of them came out.
Just all the chewing gum you ever swallowed in your life. Yeah. Like, it stays in you for 7 years.
Whole gut out.
No, not for you.
Unbelievable.
All big blockage.
Yeah, big time.
I'm glad you're back.
Thank
on
you.
Your
I'm
best.
Very glad to be back. You look well.
Thank you. Can I now wrap up a couple of things that you've missed?
Go on then.
Me and, well, Ethan 48 an entire possum on the last show.
No, I didn't. I didn't think that. He gaslit me into kind of believing it for a short period of time.
We thought we had a... I thought I had a pot. I ate a possum.
Did you actually think that?
I knew the word began with a P.
Right.
And the only animal I could think was... of at the time was possum. Well, yeah, it definitely wasn't a penguin.
It's not a full polar bear on the plane, was it?
So I went with possum.
What was the word?
It was a young chicken. I think it was called a poulet.
No. It's not a poulet is French for chicken. The word for a young chicken is Drew Smith. I know. What's the word?
What
for
do you mean?
You can't interrupt
Ethan,
me with an answer.
If you're
going to
do your big thing, like you're taking the mick out of Joe McGrath, you got to know
I'm
what
not,
the word
I'm,
was.
I'm correcting him. He's incorrect.
Okay, what's the word for
yeah,
young chicken?
Yeah, we're correcting the right answer.
Then. I don't actually know the correct word for a young chicken.
Then we figured out it was a young chicken. I'm sure you're from a shout out. What
did you
that
have
means.
The full thing?
Delicious.
Was it good?
Video on Friday. No, video's out now. Go and watch patreon.com/sloppyjoespodcast. The video of me and Ethan in a fine dining restaurant is out now.
I've got it. It's a poisson or a poisson.
I'm sorry.
POUSSIN.
In my thick mind. Say that word again.
Poisson P-O-U-S-S-R-I-N.
I'm sorry, Your Honour.
Craig Possum. Paulson.
It's a possum. Yeah. And we also talked about new thing for me in my life is get the balls out when I wee. At urinals.
Get them out.
Out physically out.
Out of where?
The boxes.
Oh right, yeah. So not out of the bag.
Do you mean out of the bag?
just let them just sort of unzip the bag.
Like a little sandwich bag full of my balls.
Get them out. That's unnecessary, isn't it? You know that. You're releasing too much smell into the room.
It is, but I feel like you get more wee out if your balls are also out.
I have that. Because it sort of squashes the pipe underneath, doesn't it? Yeah,
it really does.
If you get the balls out, you don't have that problem.
No, that's all you miss, really. Wow. In 2 hours of podcasting, that's all you missed.
Fantastic.
Now it's End Club. Yeah. Lovely. What are these called again?
Potato corn dog.
Corn dog, that's the word. That's the word.
We'll start at Drew Smith because you said 9 out of 10 Club Drew. Girl.
No, we're cutting before that.
Oh,
yeah. You're not going straight from that to the 9 out of 10 Club.
I did the 9 out of 10 Club.
Yeah.
Right, Joe. My favourite moment of the show.
Of course.
We get to nibble on some delights. Oh. Now, are you okay with solids at the minute? What's your diet?
Me and solids are getting on pretty well, yeah. I'm doing all right. Food, appetite-wise, we're good.
Yeah.
Just not always still that solid on the way out still.
You called me up and said, whatever the 9 out of 10 Club today is, please can it just be something a little bit simple for the palate?
Yeah, I was thinking, have you heard of the BRAT method?
No.
So when you've had diarrhea or whatever, it's BRAT, which is bananas, rice.
Let me guess. Apples.
Correct. And tea?
Ethan, what's the tea?
Is it tomatoes?
It's toast. So there you go. They're the things that they recommend you
so
eat if you've still got a bit of a dicky tummy.
So much fruit in Ethan's brat.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, it's none of those things that what I've got.
It's not got any of those things in it.
I don't know. I don't think so. And I think it's an unfortunate shape what I brought as well to the table. One thing that we've never tried.
Do you mean the food or do you mean yourself? Because that's no way to talk about
yourself.
I
am not an unfortunate shape. It's a misunderstanding at best.
You said you brought an unfortunate shape to the table. Which of the four chicken nugget shapes would you say your body's most like?
The bell, the ball, the bone, or the bow? The one you get the most sauce on. Which is the one that kind of fits perfectly.
The bone.
I have brought something that is big in Korea. I have brought something.
What, some of this career focused, do you mean?
Not career focused. Sort of, it's not like a fucking,
you know,
vet.
Darren Ferguson.
I have brought something that is big in South Korea. I have brought something that has made its way over to Manchester and lots of different places across the UK. Mm. And it's called the corn dog.
What?
Now, the Korean corn dog, to be precise.
Isn't because a normal corn dog, I think America.
This one is called the potato corn dog Korean style chicken sausage corn dog with ketchup, sweet chili, and mayo. Right, let me rip this bad boy open. How many have we got? Oh, three each.
Three each?
No. Oh my God, these look brilliant. Ethan, take this.
Okay.
Oh, they smell good.
Where's the other one? Where's mine?
Right, there's two in here.
Oh, right.
Oh!
What do they look like? What do they look like?
Go to yours, you want to cut to this. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know why the end of the stick's blue. There's like a little stick which is on. Right, let me show you this.
Whoa!
Hap daggy.
That is exactly the wrong thing to eat.
This is what you've been wanting for the last 4 days.
So what is this? Why is it? Why is it covered in cubes?
I think inside of this is a chicken hot dog.
It's got a weight to it.
It's got mayo, sweet. Should we just deep throw it? How about we add some sexy music onto the top?
Okay.
Wish us luck. Wow. As you can see, hot dogs demolished.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bit in love.
Are you a hot dog guy, generally?
No. And do you know why I'm not a hot dog guy? I'm never a fan of the what?
The bun?
The bun. The sausage is fine.
Yeah.
The bun lets it down.
Mm.
That dish, my friend, eradicates everything I don't like about a hot dog.
Well, it has sort of got a built-in bun a little bit, that cornbread.
But it's crispy. And that is a texture that I think lifts the whole thing.
Yeah.
I've got to say, the sauces on it were delicious as well. There's a little bit of spice in there.
Yeah.
Tomato and maybe some like mellow things out a little bit. The sausage chicken hot dog.
Yeah.
That was delicious.
They all taste the same, don't they? Every hot dog, no matter what it's made out of, tastes like the same thing.
Because essentially what they do is get meat and then put the same spices in.
Yeah.
Or the same flavourings. Or whatever the hot dog flavouring is. I like it. I'm sorry, I like it.
Have you ever had one before then?
Never. That's my first. I've just broke my corn dog virginity.
Mm. With a dog? What did you say? Sorry, what did you say?
A corn dog.
You cornered a dog and broke your...
I don't need to corner dogs. I've always got treats on me.
That was true, actually. What I would say about that is, it's definitely nice food, isn't it? Which I didn't even know if it would be that. I know I'm that being a bit basic, but...
Do you think it was just going to be a stunt?
I look at it and you thought, that could just be shit. But the basically what it is sausage, a sausage sandwich and chips in on a stick, isn't it?
Sausage sandwich.
We got sausage, you've got cornbread, there's your sausage sandwich, and you've got loads of fried bits of potato stuck to it.
True.
So every bite tastes like sausage sandwich and chips, which is good.
It is, and it's delicious.
Really good. I don't love eating it, if you know what I mean. I don't like how it's presented. I don't like the dogification of it all. I don't need that long, thick, meaty girth to get my lips around. I do think it's slightly cumbersome and unwieldy to eat.
What's cumbersome mean?
It's a bit difficult to sort of... It doesn't hold its weight properly. It kind of fumbles around. It's slightly difficult and
like Drew, tricky. I guess you could say.
Yeah. Fuck me. It's like...
Tell me. So it's kind of like as a food, it's much nicer than I thought it was going to be. I thought it'd be shit, but I
do agree
thing.
With the I do agree with the difficulties that the stick has made eating it.
Yeah,
because you do get to a point where you're just sort of trying to dodge a stick.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, it's a very pokey stick.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. So, I could have better.
So you've got to kind of like nibble it like that and go blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
and do all sorts. The flavours.
The flavours are very good. Ethan, what did you make of it?
Well, I saw it and I was a bit perplexed as to what it was. I didn't realise it would have fries sticking out of it like some kind of like spiky weapon that he used back in the medieval days.
It's got a bit of that too, hasn't it? A bit of bludgeoning ability.
Yeah, like a truncheon that's designed to cause a little bit more damage.
Mm. You'd be dead in medieval days, wouldn't you?
No, I would survive and prosper.
How?
But anyway, what I was thinking was, when I took that first bite, I had the fear of the stick as well. And then I
like
got around
school
it.
Children in the 1950s. Carry on.
I got around it, had a little nibble here, there and there.
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know what? What it's done is, for me, see you've got a plate, you've got some sausage, you've got some chips. And sometimes when you've got your knife and fork, you'll have a bit of a cut, and you'll have one bit of sausage, and the next time you might have a bit of fries, and the next time you might have a bit of sausage and fries. But on this occasion,
I mean, what?
What a
wait, surely no one's eating two ingredients at the same time. Ethan, this is what I just said.
But
I just said it's a sausage sandwich and chips in one bite.
But what I'm saying, Drew, it's the consistency of bite. When you've got that plate and food in front of you, you might not... all the time get a bit of sausage. You might run out of a bit of sausage. You might do your maths a bit wrong.
What's going on here? Do you run out of sausage?
Well, your maths might be a bit off when you're having your sausage and your chips. Your last six mouthfuls, therefore, might be sausageless. But in this situation, you're always guaranteed to have a bit of both. The best bite possible. Covered in sauce. Do you know what I mean?
Good point, actually.
Yeah.
Every single bite is exactly the same as every other bite.
Yeah.
It's got an efficiency to it. But is it 9 out of 10?
I think the truth is it's not. However, you've got to give it to them.
It's good.
Because it was up there with the goods. Let's give it a genuine rating.
I would honestly say that that's a 7.5 out of 10 for me.
I'd go a little bit higher, 7.8.
Yeah. I think it's really nice. And I would recommend trying one.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that expensive, like £6 or something, which obviously not cheap, but
that's
it's not
delivery
like...
as well. That's the delivery.
Yeah.
Well, or was it? Yeah. Ethan?
You know what? It looks like it's not going to get in today. But what I must say to the corn dog is that I will be having it again if it ever comes. So I don't think I'll ever go...
You've saved a bit for later.
Show your tash there.
I think if it ever presents to me where I'm walking past a corn dog establishment, which I've not seen much of, I must say, I'd think, I actually remember that time on Sloppy Joe's podcast.
Fuck off! That's not enough.
We padding for
you
timing.
Know what? Here we go.
What's going
if
on?
One day, let me tell you this. This is how much I liked it. If I ever walk past it, which I never have and presumably never will, I'll go as far as to think about the time I ate one. Well, what a review that is. I'll never buy another one, but I'll certainly be willing to think about it again under the very unlikely circumstance that I'm forced to see one. Come on, Ethan.
Come on, Ethan.
Well, I would possibly say if I hadn't had a bite to eat and I was not having anything else, why not?
I don't know what's going on.
So narrow.
What is going
the
on?
The parameters are so narrow that
and
you would have another one.
If it was a Tuesday.
If it was, well, if I'd not had much to eat, but I mean, obviously, I don't want to spoil this tea, but it's not like a full. Fucking hell. Would you have another one?
I would have another one.
Yay! Go on, lad.
An out of 10?
Loves it.
I'd say 7.5.
Yeah, same as mate. Coward. Fantastic. And I agree with him as well. If I was walking past it, but I wasn't not like dead hungry because they're not massive, but if I wasn't full and I wasn't expected to eat something else and I wasn't late for something, I'd at least think about the time I had one.
Of course.
Yeah.
Normally it's my time for the stories now, isn't it, Joe?
You're coming with your little, you know, you've usually been to Dublin once a week and then whatever else.
My wild weekends, as we like to call them. But I'm. It's October, isn't it? So, Ethan, tell Joe what I'm doing.
Ah, okay. Well, what Drew is doing again, Drew, which you might remember, is that Sober October.
That thing you didn't do last year?
Hey, I'm one weekend in and it's doing all right for me.
How far did you get last time?
Last time I got to the 15th.
So shit.
And I think as this episode re-recorded and released, I will have beaten my record. I didn't drink on the weekend, so I've not got no wacky stories.
Right.
I will hopefully not drink this weekend, although I'm going to a wedding.
Well, you're going to drink then, aren't you?
I'm not. I'll drive. And then I'm going to a 30th birthday the week after that. So it is going to be my challenge.
What did you say? God puts his toughest tests in front of his
toughest people,
best soldiers or whatever.
It's going to be a challenging couple of months. And it's going to be a very boring October for me,
you know,
stories-wise.
You know, you can do things that isn't booze-related. That probably, actually, the thing that you need to do isn't stop drinking, you know, per se. It's create a world where drinking isn't the main focus of your life. Is this too deep?
Is what you've done?
Well, no, but if it's like I didn't drink this weekend, so I've got no stories. And then just sat in the same spot.
No.
And then looked at the clock, midnight.
I went on
Monday. Like, you kind of done
something. I don't
something
mean that. I went on four phenomenal walks with the dog. I made a supplement.
Oh, phenomenal.
I watched the Beckham documentary, all of it, and I cooked an unbelievable Sunday dinner. But that's not world-class podcasting,
no,
is it? We're not
going to
clip this bit.
All right, well,
Joe cooks a Sunday dinner.
Do you want to hear something that is world-class?
Yeah.
What I did the weekend before last, and I've not seen you since.
What?
Apple Day.
Apple Day.
When I say, and I mean this genuinely, maybe the best day I've had in 5 years... I'm sort of like Opta, since records began.
Yeah, okay.
Since we started tracking the data.
Yeah.
It was perfection.
What is Apple Day?
What do you think it would be?
Is it something to do with Apple, the company?
I bloody well hope not. It's nothing to do with them.
iPhone. You got a new iPhone.
I did get a new iPhone, and that was its own Apple Day. This one.
It must be the fruit.
Ah, we've got a smart cookie on our hands, haven't we?
You've spent a whole day eating apples.
Pretty much. East Markham, I believe it's in Nottinghamshire, okay? Not too far from Worksop, where I'm from. Once a year, at the start of autumn, is Apple Day. The whole town celebrates our great British fruit, right? So what it entails is, it focuses on the town hall and a strip of road leading to an orchard, right? These areas, these words I'm saying, these are our playground for the day, okay?
Yeah.
You start outside the town hall. Cider, anyone?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, apple juice. And then it's cheeky. Got some pear juice as well. We don't tell anyone. Bit of bants, you know.
What have they got?
Your small town bants.
Yeah, what a day you've had. Straight away, on it.
Apple juice. No, not sniff. They don't tell anyone about the pears because it's apple day. You get there. You've already got a free. This is free. This is the sort of place. You know when you live in Manchester, everything's £4.95. This guy's dishing out pear juice. If you want to leave a donation, you can.
And has it got alcohol in?
No, it hasn't at this point, but you can get cider inside. Nice. Morris dancing, which we need to talk about Morris dancing generally. What is it?
I just need, I don't know.
Have you
need,
ever, have you been
I've
to
I've seen
see
it. It's nice. It's all right.
Have you seen Morris Dancing, Ethan?
I'm aware of the Kaylee.
Okay.
I don't think that.
What's that?
I think that's different. Kaylee that's Irish dancing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know.
I think Morris Dancing might be the English equivalent then.
Yeah.
So it's basically, if we're honest, it's sort of retired secondary school teachers wearing shirts with ribbons on them, holding wooden sticks, and doing the slowest dance you can possibly imagine awful. With bells on them.
With bells on. If you told me, Ethan, you were a Morris dancer, I wouldn't bat an eyelid.
Yeah, because what they've always done is they've always roped along some sort of 25-year-old who think, whatever's happened for you to be doing this, I don't like
Something's
it.
Something's up.
Something's up. You're probably someone's granddaughter. I don't know what's going
I'd
on.
I'd try yodeling.
Yeah.
Go on then.
That's
go
another
for
one,
it.
Though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's another one of the same group of a cluster of activities that is only done by the elderly.
Do you want to try it now?
I don't know how, but I've seen like those children with like the dungarees and like standing there and they go like.
You're talking what? Walmart yodel kid?
I am.
Go on, do that song that he's saying.
You could be his fucking.
I can't actually recall the yodel in my head right now. Yeah.
Give it, give it a go. You go, lay, ho, ho.
Oh, that's it. Like a lay. Is it the throat?
You've got to really give it some, Ethan.
It's not the fucking toe, is it?
You've got to really give it some.
But is it like a...
You're so full of excuses.
I know, just commit to the yodel.
Like, yodel-y. That.
He doesn't say like in the middle. Like,
that's really good.
Yeah, it's really good, that.
So there's Morris dancers outside. You watch them. They're brilliant. It's also just so such a slow pace. They say, at the start, they're like, this next dance is to represent and reenact a battle that happened in 1562. I'm like, fucking yes. Fucking now, now we're starting. This is going to be exciting. Yeah. And it's still just...
Cool.
Like nothing.
Yeah.
That sounded
yeah.
like the start of another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd there, by accident, didn't it? Not Brick the Money. Anyway, so then you go inside and it's... Down one side of the entire town hall is... paper plate, all the way down. About 25 paper plates, right? And on it is the created version of every ingredient, no, every recipe that is in the Apple recipe book that is for sale. Wow. Already made, free samples. So I'm eating apple scones, apple cake, apple bread, apple wow. scone, apple cake, apple bread. Just non-stop. Perfect. Then in the corner, you've got your apple sauce, pork and stuffing sandwiches.
Joe.
Right?
Yeah. Do you not think all these apples could have been the cause of your bad shits? Because if anyone eats apples for an entire day and then drinks it down with a cider.
7%.
Oh, it wasn't one of those like fucking warm ones, was it?
Oh yeah, big time. It was flat, warm, and 7%. But then this is just the amuse-bouche. This is just the hors d'oeuvre. You get there, you have that, you fill up on free cake. You don't buy the recipe book because you're not an idiot.
Yeah.
And then you get a porks and stuffing sandwich, right?
Delicious.
Delicious. Then you go out and you filter down to the orchard. Now,
what is an orchard?
An orchard is just a load of apple trees in a field.
Is it?
Well, what do you think it was?
It was like a barn or something.
No, an orchard.
An orchard. Did you know what an orchard is?
Yeah.
What is it?
I envisage it just to be like woods where there's like fruit.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. This is an apple orchard.
Woods with fruit.
Yeah, woods with fruit. And in this field, I would guess there's probably 200 apple trees.
Fucking hell.
Right? Over that's probably an acre or so, or two. And my dad loves apples, right? He's in his element. The best part of the day is just seeing how much joy my dad gets out of it.
Surely once you've seen an apple, you've seen them all.
Don't make me laugh, Joe.
You can't be stunned.
Oh, I was going to bring them in for 9 out of 10 club, but they're past their best now, right? Some of these apples in this...
Let me pretend to eat one. It's not getting in.
Oh.
No, you go like this. Put me on the spit.
Oh.
That's what you do.
Oh, that's awful.
Sorry.
Sure, oh. Ethan.
Oh. Or a big toffee apple, eh?
He's popped back with another one, hasn't he?
I'm trying to think of something now.
Go on.
I'm thinking about cider.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And Ethan's mum.
But what you do
loves a pork in cider.
Oh, dear me. Ooh. So, what you do is, there's a leaflet that tells you all the different apples, all the different types. And then, what you don't want to do is, every kilo is £2. So you just get a big carry bag and you're just pulling them off the trees, putting them in your bag. But there's so many different varieties and you don't want to pick them off, bite it, not like it and throw it on the ground. So you have to pick up the ones that have already fallen on the ground naturally and bite into it. And sometimes you're biting ones that other people who you don't know have already bitten. And it's this whole sense of community. I must have tried. Well, I tried every single apple in the orchard. 150 apples.
No, you didn't.
I did. I didn't eat the full thing. I got
you
to the point.
You did not. This is... Poor fridge raider's got a fucking grief. You ate 150 different apples. It's not... I don't care if it's a fruit. It still can't be good for you.
I tell you what.
You're coming home and I don't feel well.
It's not.
You're eating 150 apples. No. That's so many apples.
No. I didn't finish it.
You get back and
but here's the thing. I got smart with it. Because by the end, I was getting a little apple fatigue, if I'm honest. You know, we all love apples, but you get a little fatigue. And some of these apples, by the way, you know, normally you can either have sort of tanginess, you can have crunch, you can have florality, you can have sort of a sweetness, but you can't usually have everything. Some of these apples have got the worst. So these apples are amazing. You pair them next to a Braeburn you get from a shop, or God forbid, a bloody Gala or a Pink Lady. These things knock the bloody socks off of them. Oh. Some of them are the size of a sort of newborn baby's head. And usually when they're that big, they're either cooking apples or they're soft. They're still crunchy, they're fresh, they're juicy, they're sweet, they're tangy, they're everything to me.
Yeah, and then what happens at the end of apple day?
So you get all your bags. But before that, I got savvy. Because I got to the point where I'm thinking, I've probably eaten 8 full apples at this point because I'm just biting full bites. Ooh, that's nice. Have another bite of that. We'll try that. So I got to the point where I was like doing it like wine tasting. So I picked one up off the floor, bite it, chew it, spit it out. That's not even swallowing it.
Disgusting.
So there's just a field somewhere in Nottinghamshire littered with my sort of spat out apples everywhere. And then you get your bag at the end. I had 4.5 kilos, so £9. Yes, please.
That's pretty good value.
Thank you. Took them home and we've been absolutely demolishing them ever since.
How many apples would you eat a day?
I've been having 3, 4, 5 apples a day. For
can't be right, that.
Well,
five
I had about,
apples
we've got
a day.
About 40 apples.
40 apples?
Probably, if, yeah. Something
are
like.
You only eating
no, maybe
you
let's say 25 apples.
Did you buy too many?
They're amazing. No, I didn't buy enough. I wish I had more. We're nearly run out now. And they last quite a while in the fridge. It's just a beautiful day. Everyone's so happy. Everyone's so nice. It's got that old-fashioned sort of small-town feel to it where things, not everything's £6.95. Not everything's covered in, you know, dipped in its own juices with someone's fingers sticking into the sauce like everything is in Manchester.
Yeah.
Just simple, lovely. And you know what? British. Absolutely don't care about being British. Oh, but what I did think, actually, and I want to ask you this. This is a question I've got for you. I think the two things Britain does best, because we're not known for our food, are we, really, across the world?
No, but I've got an observation I want to say in a sec.
I think we have the... put up a fight for the best cheese in the world.
Yeah.
France might want to come and have a chat, and I'll listen to them. But we do incredible cheddars and Stiltons 100%. And all that. I think we do the best apples in the world. I think the British apple game is top. Better than anyone's in the world. And it made me feel proud that
day. Do you know what I think we do? And I saw this the other day, and it's just been part of... my life.
Yeah.
And I wondered, when did this first come about? So if any of the old listeners remember the time when this wasn't a thing, then was a thing, please let me know. Because I am so interested in it.
Mm.
So interested in it. When did... when did... So imagine the British terrace houses. The rows...
Terrorist houses.
Terrace houses.
Yeah.
The rows and rows of them, all up and down the country.
Beautiful.
When did the end one become a Chinese restaurant? Because we've got one on our road. It's my favourite Chinese restaurant. But when did they decide?
There's another one just up as well. Do you know, near the co-op?
JJ's?
Yeah. And the back side of the co-op backs onto it.
Did they...
No. And there's a third one between this high street and my house.
It's mad. So what I want to know is, how did it happen? Did they move in and then they go, this front room could be a fucking mint Chinese restaurant. Then do you knock on the door and go, listen, Chinese restaurant's coming next door.
Yeah.
You're fucking, the delivery will be unbelievably quick.
Yeah.
How did it work? So if anyone knows any history on that, this is less of a funny gag. This is more of a, when did it start?
Because it is a bit of a thing, isn't it? You see, there's one in Whitwell as well, near my mum and dad's house. It's just, and also actually, Dynasty Chinese, that's an end terrace next to a school.
Yeah, it is.
This fucking, I can literally instantly think of 5. That's not coincidence.
No. So when did the end of a terrace house become and restaurant, it doesn't have to be Chinese.
But mostly is Chinese in my experience. Chinese.
When did it become viable option? Ethan, are you aware of any of these?
Well, I'm not aware of those specific ones, but I do get the phenomena. It must be because they must buy the end one, because that must be the one that, like, you know, sticks out, can be a restaurant. If it's just in between houses, you think, fuck that. They would consider, I imagine, if they're like buying a property, they'll say, listen, we'll make you an offer for this particular house.
How does that process go? Sorry, you go into the details. Well, there.
What I would do is I'd just knock on the...
Okay, so you are what in this story? A Chinese man who wants to buy a house. Yeah. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
If this segment is a minute long, we've cut a lot out. Right.
3, 2, 1, action.
I'll play the other guy.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Oh, here. Hello, sir. Come and take a seat. Welcome. Sorry, what's your name?
Hello, I am a Chinese man.
Right, we're done. You can have whatever house you want.
And I am here to buy the house.
Yeah, it's yours. It's yours. Just need to... That's as far as we go.
Just instantly declaring it. Like it matters.
Yeah.
Christ,
if anyone knows when the phenomenon was, I tell you what another one was.
All right.
If anyone, and I've never seen this in my life, if anyone has got a Chinese restaurant near them that's in the middle, that would be even more. That's even more fascinating.
That'd be unbelievable. How much would you like living? Let's say you lived in a terraced house and one of your neighbours was a Chinese restaurant.
One of your neighbours was a Chinese restaurant.
How badly would that damage your life expectancy, do you think?
Joe, I am. I'll tell you this for free. I live a minute away from China.
I know you do. I know what you mean.
The most damaging thing for them as a business, not for me,
is you.
Is that they don't take card. Because I would have been there, I'd be there every fucking day. But can't we have a cash machine and all that?
I know.
They took card, brilliant. Do you know when we first got booked? Books only escape once, right?
Yeah.
And what happened was we were all having a couple of drinks. This is when he was with us for about 6 months. And obviously he smells the Chinese, got an obsession with it. Now I'm on another street. What? Because he goes past, he goes, well, that smells unbelievable in there. What's going on?
Yeah. It'd so be a fool not to think
I'm about. On like a street next to the Chinese. You kind of go down a street and then I'm there on the corner. And we were all having a couple of drinks one night.
You were both, sorry, you and the
sorry,
dog.
Me, Becky. Daryl was there, actually.
Me and Bob, we're both having a couple of pints. He's pissed, he wants his Chinese. You know what I mean? He's only fucking human, isn't he, boy? Right.
But what happened was we sort of let our guard down a little bit and Buck got out. Because someone knocked on the door and said, I've got an Amazon parcel for your next thing. Buck runs out and he looks at me and I know exactly where he's going. He runs straight to the Chinese.
Really?
He runs. He goes in the bedlam. Saturday night, busiest period. Buck's fucking on the counter.
No. Did they like? Were they scared? Were they annoyed at him?
They were a bit scared. Yeah, they were freaked. They're like batting him with a fan.
Yeah.
And then I kicked him out. What are you laughing at?
Mad. That's unbelievable. Did you obviously bought something when you were there? You're like, God, oh, no, the dogs run out. The dogs run out, and you just ran upstairs into your piggy bank, got £2.95 out. I'll get him. And you run off and got yourself.
Could never have a piggy bank because it just made me hungry. Oof, bacon.
That's true. Yeah, you have to have a celery bank, don't you?
Yeah. Then I never touch it.
That's true.
I have to have a carrot bank. Fucking hell.
What's that?
For a while.
What is that? That's
great. I've got an idea, by the way. I've got an idea before we do the 9 out of 10 club. And I wonder if you're in on this, Ethan. I thought of it on the way here. I should have really told you before the podcast going.
I love it when you do this.
It's called the £20 slopper. Okay. Now, for me, I think we're coming to the point now, to the end of the year, where I'd like to increase the slopper army.
Me too.
And I'm going to lay out a couple of £20, and I've got a challenge for some of our sloppers. If they can come to me, convince me that they've got the best marketing plan to get more sloppers in the slopper army, and it will cost them £20, okay, I will give them that money to execute that plan.
So you're
taking an advert out in the local paper that no one reads. You do this. It's like Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
And what we'll do here, I want you to pitch your ideas to us, please. Slobbyjoespodcast@gmail.com.
The wackiest and wildest ways that we can grow the slopper army for
£20. We will send you £20.
Yeah.
Only a couple, and we'll do it like Dragon's Den. I'll come with suggestions. We all have to be in on it for them to be at the thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then it's over to you.
Yeah.
We'll track your journey. We'll see what you get up to. Yeah. But the craziest and the best will become the best sloppers.
If you want to put an advert out in Stretford Paddock FC's programme, match day programme, there's one way you could probably get a view. You know what I mean?
I might just do that myself.
That's a good point, actually. We'd probably do that. But yeah, get your innovative and inventive ways to grow the Slopper Army. Well, send it to sloppyjoespodcast@gmail.com.
How much do you think, like, weirder the better? How much is a plane, like, going over?
20 quid.
Old Trafford.
That'd be 20 quid.
Oh, a paper aeroplane, 20 quid.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah, especially if it's a £20 note.
Yeah, just turn the £20 note into a paper aeroplane, draw a picture of our faces on it, throw it on the pitch.
The patrons, get on to me and Ethan going to a fine dining restaurant. In fact, I might even put a sneaky clip on the end of the episode.
Stick it in.
Stick it in.
I can't wait to see that. I haven't seen that. I wasn't there. I wasn't invited, which is obviously always nice.
I invited you.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You texted me and said, I'm taking Ethan to this. Hope you don't mind. Does that feel like an invite?
I don't think that was the text. I literally said, are you okay with me to take Ethan to this thing for content? #content. And if you would have said no, we would have forgot about it and I would have taken you.
Would you have taken me? Do I have the priority?
That is why I asked you first. Go on, get it up. Get it up. Ethan, if you could sum up the experience.
That makes me feel a bit unwanted now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Being invited to Woods in town for a posh meal. Becky is away, so I thought it'd be funny to take Ethan. Right. In what way does that sort of seem like you're kind of running it past me?
As one of the shareholders of the company, I needed your permission. That was a good idea for content. If you would have said no, I would have gone, right, it's me and you, innit? Oh.
But anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I can't wait to watch that. And if you're not a patron, make sure you join and you can watch that. And all of our other previous specials as well.
You've got more coming up.
Yeah, you also have to do your punishment for losing Joe versus Joe.
I don't think I do.
What?
Ethan James, let's stop the tape. Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Ethan James, I need your full attention to this.
I'm stopping the tape, yeah, man.
No, don't stop the tape. It was a saying.
Oh,
stop
right.
the count.
Which isn't a saying anyway. Stop the tape isn't really a saying.
I received an email, Ethan.
Yeah.
I need to find said email.
Okay.
It was about Joe versus Joe.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is you've got planned, but to me, it is vile.
Dear vertebrates, I've been catching up on the podcast, and I performed a VAR check on episode 102, Joe versus Joe. This is from the brilliant Robin Henderson. I have to alert you of the following injustice, which will blow the whole competition wide open. And this is all down to Ethan James. During a tiebreaker, the birth of George the Tortoise, we both had to declare when he was born. It was declared by Ethan that he was born on the year 1832.
Yeah.
I had 1810 written down and you had 1860. If you check the VAR, you'll find that Ethan got his maths right. 1810 was the closest. Me. Oh. However, Joe S. claimed the victory and I just conceded. As a fellow sloppers, I believe this is a clear and obvious error. Joe M should have one more point. Joe S should have one point less.
Ethan said that I'd won.
This is what?
He didn't go, Joe McGrath's won, and I went, no, I've won. He said I won.
So I said 1810 was the closest.
Also, that doesn't make sense. Those numbers you've read out, you must have read something wrong there, because one of them was you were 20 years too far, and I was 40 years out of the way.
You said 1860, and I said 1810, and he was born in 1832.
Right.
So, this is what Robin blames. Joe S., for claiming victory and failing to do simple maths. Mm-hmm. Ethan, for failing to control the situation. Joe M., for failing to do simple maths himself and concede to being Ethan's slave.
Now,
I hope to you rectify the situation and restore some credibility to your otherwise thoughtful and highbrow podcast.
Now, before you offer anything, I would like to read you a statement issued 10 days ago by Liverpool FC Football Club.
I'm
getting a lot of parallels here, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the word Liverpool for Joe McGrath, okay? Joe McGrath acknowledges Ethan's admission of their failures last night. It is clear that the correct application of the laws of the game did not occur, result in the sporting integrity being undermined. Let's skip forward a little bit, right? That such failings have been already categorised as significant human error is also unacceptable, and any and all outcomes should be established by review and with full transparency. This is vital for the reliability of future decision-making as it applies to all competitors, with learning being used to make improvements to the process in order that such a situation cannot occur again. What in the meantime, we will explore a range of options available, giving clear need for escalation and resolution. Joe, you look desperate, mate. The decision has been made.
No.
We cannot you're going to sit here next, like Jurgen Klopp. You're going to sit here like Jurgen Klopp and say, oh, we need to replay the game.
No.
That's what you're going to say. That isn't part of the rules, man.
Here are the facts.
What happened with Liverpool? They went, sorry, can't do anything about it. Next.
Nope. And we're not the Premier League. I want a point taken off you. I don't want it. So I don't want a replay.
Oh.
I want a point taken off
him. Point removal, is that really good for the game?
And I think the actual decision should be over to Ethan James.
Let's not forget this was over a month ago.
No. Wait, because we've had a lot of stuff happening.
I'm stunned about this. I must say, at the time, as a lot of VAR officials must feel as well, it something didn't quite feel right. I must agree,
this is like ref watch.
Wait till this is ref watch.
I could pinpoint it.
Everyone makes mistakes.
One of the things, Joe, when Joe was reading the similarities with the PGMOL there, what I noticed is that we don't actually have any written down laws of the game in this sense. So I guess it could be open up to interpretation what we do in this moment, and I guess I need to make a decision.
Here's what I'm putting forward. One final Joe versus Joe, winner takes all. Okay. Next episode.
Here's what I'm putting forward. You are the worst loser I've ever met.
No.
I didn't interrupt you when you were listing your... right? You're the worst loser I've ever met. There have been accusations that you agreed to of cheating in the past.
That was in the past.
At the very worst, this is a taste of your own medicine. And at the very best, this is a learning experience for Ethan and the rest of the crew.
We've moved on.
Exactly. We have moved on.
From
it's
my
been
cheating
4 weeks.
In the day.
Get your punishment done and keep your mouth
from
shut.
From my cheating, we have moved on. We are better. You made a mistake, Ethan.
Oh, there's no significant human error.
If I say you call it. Also, one last one next
another
week.
Another issue I'm facing is if Joe falsely claimed the victory, which might be manipulation of the decision-making process, because he knows he can get one over me quite easily.
Just to be genuinely honest, I didn't know that I'd lost that and claim it on purpose. That was a mistake by me. I actually promise you.
Your Honour.
I didn't think that. I thought that I'd won.
The other thing I'm toying with is that we've promised patrons or whatever for some time now that they will be seeing the punishment of Drew McGrath, which would be serving me for a day. So is that false advertising at that point? Do we need to just say, let bygones be bygones?
Because the other thing here is, it's only 6-3 if you win. So it's not like one winner takes all. That is
no, that's not an option.
So it's either
I put the option out there. You've denied it, but it was an option.
I think the first thing that needs to take place before I make a decision is that I need to review this footage. And if what the assistant has flagged up with us here is correct, I think what we should do would be I can't reward McGrath the point because obviously it wasn't settled. It was a tiebreaker.
It was a fucking tiebreaker. And that would have turned...
No, but that doesn't count.
It would have turned...
You can't say that.
It would have turned the game on his head.
Everything's different, isn't it?
All right, I think if I agree with whoever... Who wrote in again, please, Drew?
Robin. So you're leaving us on Robin, a cliffhanger. I love
if this. I agree with Robin, what the outcome will be is that Smith doesn't take it. The point is deducted. However, you can't gain a point, Drew, because it's a different game. The game is therefore ruled as null and void.
Here's what I think you should do. I think you should go and watch it back and write a statement for next week.
Okay.
And deliver that statement.
Much like PGMOL, we want you to bring a statement for next week.
Bring the statement to
what happened, what went wrong, how it came through your eyes.
But by all means, what I'm saying right now is just thinking out aloud of what could be fair. I will go away. I'll think about this properly. I know lots of people watch this and it means a lot to them. So I'm not going to take this lightly, I promise.
Speak to a Premier League referee.
Yeah, they know what
I've got that Mark Hansey's number.
Mark Hansey?
Oh,
isn't that just his nickname after the works party? Got that. Mark Halsey, you mean?
No, Mark Halsey. I'm not cutting that. It's a very good joke.
He's not handsy. There's never been any rumour that he has. No,
apologies. Right, so there's a cliffhanger on Sloppy Joe's.
Unbelievable. I can't believe this.
We wait for Ethan's statement. We're excited.
The game is done. We're going to get everyone back in the stadium. Do the people who got the tickets for the last one get a ticket for this one? Or is it a new get? Like, nonsense.
See you next week, eh?
This is absolutely disgusting.
Ethan, do the right thing, yeah? Go and sign up to the Patreon. Sloppy Joe's Patreon. Patreon.com.
Yeah, in the description.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Ethan.
See you. And please like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.